The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
An increase in divorce cases since 2019 has led to a rise in the number of binding court orders to split and share pensions between the divorcing couple and their children. And many financial experts say that for some people, the pension is worth more than their home. And Michelle Brown is a legal mediator and author of Scars of Divorce and joins us now. Good evening to you, Michelle. I suspect the pension is the last thing on someone's mind when they're about to get divorced or when that's what they are looking to do. But nonetheless, for many people, it's an asset worth more than their home. Do people overlook that or forget about that, particularly at the beginning?
Good evening, Ciara. Yes, you're right. It is often the last thing people are thinking about. The priority is about, generally speaking, rehousing when we're dealing with clients who are coming into us when they unfortunately are in the position that their marriage has broken down. But I don't necessarily agree that these are overlooked. It is the case that it isn't the priority, but it is really important that people have a clear picture and understand the value of their pensions. Ciara, it's overcomplicated in my opinion, and we need to be informed.
Okay.
The article is clear. We're on the rise with regard to divorce, and we need to demystify it and we need to make it really clear so that we're making informed decisions when we're having to deal with such difficulties.
And is it the case, Michelle, that particularly people maybe in the public sector who have very good pensions, and particularly if they're defined benefit pensions, which some people mm-hmm. still have, that would routinely be worth more than maybe the equity that they have in their home?
I wouldn't necessarily say routinely, like it varies dramatically. Yes, we know that certain pensions are very valuable and on occasion they can be worth more than a house. So it's about saying, let's get clarity on this, because we don't want to drive this into a court system where there's a battle over it and the cost, you know, negates any benefits that may be there for the clients. So we need to have people understand this. You know, there is also a case, Ciara, that people assume they're entitled to. There is no entitlement in law to the other person's 50% of their pension. There's an entitlement to correct provision in family law. So we need to say we're entitled to understand and to get clarity on this. So absolutely, it can be worth an awful lot depending upon the individual circumstances. Obviously, if people have big mortgages and low equity and big pensions, but it's about getting the information, having a clear picture of the financials, and then making informed decisions in the right platform, though. Okay. The right space to do this is key to getting it right, Ciara.
And when you say the right space, are you talking about things like mediation? Because my understanding is that the legal system in terms of divorce in this country is quite adversarial between parties, and even divorces that might start out relatively amicably don't always end up that way.
Yeah. You see, the thing about pensions is we have been saying for decades, pensions are complicated. And with complication, we inset a fear. And whereby there's fear, it creates conflict. So we need to take that away and stop and demystify it all and get clarity. People don't, you know, become stupid when they're getting divorced. We're able, if given the correct information, to deal with this. So we need to create the clarity, and the correct space to do that is mediation. And obviously, I'm a mediator, I'm advocating for mediation, but we know that the courtrooms are so adversarial that they will make these decisions much harder. The mediation allows for the space to get this information, to go off and consider our options, and then to make the best decisions going forward. And okay. It takes the heat out of it. And that's really what this is about.
And Michelle, clarity. If it is less adversarial and indeed cheaper to do it through mediation, why do so many people end up in the legal route? Is that a breakdown maybe in communication between them, or a breakdown in terms between them, that they're falling out with each other too much to go the mediation route?
We've had the mindset for years that we need protection. We need a legal team. We need to fight. And it's about changing that. And I do believe there's huge change. Mediation is on the increase. But to take away that kind of mental attitude towards our divorces, that we must fight, and realise that, you know, well, the sensible part would be not to. We're getting misinformation. So it's about the clarity on the information. We don't need to fight. We need to create correct provision. And having one person working for the couple to create an agreement that's in the best interest of them and their children. I mean, there's more. It's in legislation now, and it has been since the Mediation Act 2017, that mediated agreements can be legally binding. And it also is in that act that all solicitors must advise. So the government have done a lot with the Mediation Act to promote mediation and for to, you know, give couples separating that platform. But Kira, there's always more we can do. I personally believe that for couples separating, especially with children, there should be mandatory mediation to take away that ability to go through this process, because people are ill-informed at the beginning. They don't realise the expense. They don't realise how long it takes.
And it is very expensive, and it is very protracted in this country. I mean, if you were advising somebody now who's just listening and they're thinking, okay, we want to separate, we want to get divorced, but we haven't really taken any steps in that direction. What is the first step for people? Because John has texted and he says, we went to mediation at the start of our separation. The biggest problem with mediation is that it requires both people to be mature and deal with the problems. But if one person is not willing to do that, you will eventually end up in the courts anyway. And I think that's what people certainly think about mediation, that unless both people are on board with it, that you're going, it's all going to break down. You're going to end up in the courts anyway. So where do people, where should people start with all of this?
So obviously that's a, you know, that is a difficulty if two parties aren't on board. But I would say on that point, it is possible and it is frequent that couples mediate separately, whereby the communication has broken down. And I would say there's just not enough information out there as to the how bad the alternative is, as to how bad that process is. It's the scaremongering that lead people into the court system. So much more information needs to be given to people before they start. Speak to mediators separately, suitably qualified mediators who are dealing with separating couples, who have experience in that area, is where you need to go. Anybody who has been through the court system, who has spent 5, 7, 10 years, and that is not uncommon, will tell you how difficult that system is. So the little bit of scaremongering, you know, the other person won't. A suitably qualified mediator who's working with couples who have, you know, a level of difficulty will take the heat out of it. And obviously it's not for everybody, but the vast majority of cases are suitable for mediation. But this is whereby I say, whereby we have a culture of how we deal with things. We've had a culture of how we deal with our breakups by, you know, sort them or sort her. We need to get away from it.
Right in thinking this, and perhaps this is just a theory of my own making, but that because in Ireland we didn't have divorce for so long, and when it was brought in, we were kind of almost treating it as something that people shouldn't do. So we made it difficult. We had very, very long wait times. Now we have slightly shorter wait times, but still very long, very expensive. It's almost like the system is designed to put off people so that more people won't do it because we're afraid of it in some way, because that was sort of a mindset at the time.
Absolutely. You're singing from exactly the same hymn sheet as myself. I've written about it, and I truly believe that because we carried so much guilt over our so-called broken marriages or broken homes, that, you know, that we just put up and shut up, and we took this system that was so broken and we dealt with it, and we got money from wherever we needed to pay for this, because we were riddled with guilt in dealing with a system that was so broken. We need to move away from it for the betterment of ourselves, our families, our children, and say, you know, it's okay that the marriage didn't work out. Now, how best are we going to deal with this? It has been because of the guilt. I 100% believe that. So we need to change how society is dealing with our breakups to begin with. And, you know, it goes full circle. There is no reason that we should be spending that amount of money and that amount of time in something that we're legally entitled to deal with. And we know now more about the mental health for our children and ourselves. And, you know, let's just do this as efficiently and give the information and, you know, make it as straightforward as possible for the individuals involved.
Yes, indeed. And look, thank you for that. That is Michelle Brown, their legal mediator and author of The Scars of Divorce. And there was a study, I remember, came out last year because we covered it on the show. And it was about the fact that actually the shorter time you spend going through the divorce, the better it is for the kids because it becomes less toxic and adversarial. Let us know what you think. If you are affected by this in particular, I'd love to hear from you. 087 1400 106.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.